Christmas can be such a busy time of year. There's a lot of things that are going on, a lot of things to get done, and those days just keep coming by. That, especially with, you know, you look on Amazon, you look online, and their shipping dates start getting farther out, and pretty soon they start highlighting items that maybe could still make it before Christmas comes, and items that maybe you wish you had ordered a little bit earlier because they're no longer guaranteed. And you think, well, it's still a little while. Surely I have time now. In that busyness, it's easy to get frustrated when things don't go smoothly. I'm not sure anyone really likes to get interrupted in what they're doing. I know I certainly can get a little grumpy with it. Interruptions are such a weird thing. You know, just that process of being distracted and turned away from the task you had at hand, I personally will get upset, get grumpy about being interrupted, even when I'm doing something I didn't want to do. How many of you are like that? You know, you could be ready to floss your teeth, and someone interrupts you to bring you a little cookie they've just made, and you're like, come on, man, I was like two teeth into flossing. Really, you're going to bring me a cookie right now? Like, well, were you really looking forward to flossing? No. I do it twice a year. I have my appointment next week, so I figured I needed to floss, and now you bring me a cookie. Well, I'm going to tell the doctor this was on you. I'll sit down in that dentist chair, and he's like, have you been flossing? You know what? It's a weird story. I got that tooth, and I got the one next to it, and then there was a cookie. I'm sorry, it's not my fault. Okay, what about the other 364 days? You know what? That cookie lasted me a long time. Those interruptions come, and they can be frustrating. And depending on how big they are, they can throw your whole day off. That what turns out to be a big thing often starts very small. A kid who's feeling just a little bit warm, and then it's really warm. And then it's canceling some plans to go to the doctor, and being referred to the hospital, and being admitted. And whatever your plans were for the day, for the week, are suddenly put aside. Something more important has come up. Sometimes it's things that seem big and then turn out small. I've been interrupted in cooking more than once by that most precious of noises. You know the one. Beep, beep. And because we've trained the kids well, we'll have kids running down. All right, everybody out the door. We're meeting by the mailbox. No, we're not meeting by the mailbox. We're having bacon. It's going to be fine. What's going to interrupt your day? And at Christmas, especially if you're struggling to get into Christmas spirit, every little interruption can seem big. When is it just going to be time for joy and peace? As we've been going through the Christmas story here on Sunday mornings, we've been focusing in on those incredible blessings that God has for us when we have God-pleasing responses to difficult circumstances. We have a story that's like that again today in Luke chapter 2. We think, mostly when we think of the Christmas story, as just those joyful occasions, but there's a lot of difficult things that are happening in the midst of it. And that's true in this story as well. You can read with me in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Luke has told very briefly about the birth of Jesus. Mary and Joseph going to the town of Bethlehem. And she gave birth and wrapped Jesus in a swaddling cloth and laid him in the manger. And verse 8 picks up. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence here, for the way that you stir us up, and we ask that you would stir us up again today. May your word speak to us. May you open our hearts and our minds to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have this well-known story of the shepherds and the angels. Those who were nearby when Jesus was born and the message they received. It starts out with an infant announcement that a baby has been born just then. This baby has been born nearby, and the shepherds get to hear about it. They don't hear about it in the normal way, of course. They're out at night keeping watch when, as it says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The angel of the Lord appeared, and they were filled with great fear. This is actually not that unusual of a response to a new baby, to be filled with great fear. Usually not because of God's glory there and an angel showing up in the middle of the night, but that knowledge that a baby brings changes. Things are going to be different. I think just about everybody likes to hear a baby announcement. You could go up to just about anybody out on your shopping trips out around town and tell them, "I'm so excited, we're having a new baby." And they'd say, "Wow, congratulations." For some of you, they might say, "Really?" But hardly anyone would say, "I don't want to hear about it. Just let me do my shopping." And the last thing I want to hear is that somebody's having a kid. Almost anybody will enjoy that first announcement. If you tell a guy, they'll say, "Well, great, good job, congratulations." If you tell a woman, they'll say, "Oh, that's great." If the baby's been born, they'll say, let me see a picture. A guy might say, "Well, yeah, okay, looks like another baby." A lady will tell you, "Oh, she has your ears. That's his dad's nose." A guy will say, "Yeah, looks like a kind of wrinkly little baby. Who does he look like? I guess every other baby in the world. I don't know, that's what I'm going to go with. Honestly, if you showed me this baby in 5 more minutes, I couldn't tell you whether it was the same one or its brother." But you love to hear about those new babies, knowing that joy is coming. For the shepherds, it's not what they were expecting, of course. This announcement comes, and they're filled with fear. Before they've heard what the message is about, seeing God's glory and the angel of the Lord, I think it starts to strike at what you've been doing that day, where your thoughts were. What was I just doing watching these sheep at night that now God has appeared, his angel in front of me, his glory shining around? Whatever they were up to, it wasn't good enough. They were scared. God's glory had found their field with their sheep. in the middle of the night. Not what you expect at work. The angel tells them, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Their fear turns to joy. This message that's not just for themselves, but for all the people. The Savior is born. The Messiah, Christ the Lord, is here. This is going to be a big change. Of course, many people were expecting the Messiah at that time, looking forward to when the Messiah would come. But I don't think that many of them were expecting a baby announcement, waiting for a man in the prime of life to step forwards and be ready to come as the Savior. Perhaps a young man like David, the king, youngest brother anointed unexpectedly, but then going on to do great things. But here the message is, the baby's just been born. And more than that, the strange situation that he would be in. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger. What a strange announcement. And the heavenly hosts appear. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. What an announcement. I've seen some videos of people doing gender reveals for their baby. Every once in a while, one makes the news when they burn down a forest. But no one had a bigger announcement than this. The heavens are opened and the angels sing. And I bet it messed up those shepherds whole night. This announcement interrupted their work. They're night watchmen. And the angel hadn't exactly told them that they had to go, but he'd certainly left that open. There's a sign for you. You can find the baby right now, wrapped up and lying in a manger. Right now. The middle of the night. Are you allowed to go with a bunch of shepherds and wake up a baby? Are the parents going to get mad? Wait, what about all these sheep? Can you bring 200 sheep in to see a baby? Often you see a little display like this one. Maybe they've brought one lonely lamb with. Maybe two or three have made the scene. But a whole bunch of shepherds in the middle of the night, I don't think there's three sheep with them. And so what do you do with the rest? It's the middle of the night. You're the night watchman. I doubt someone's on call to take over real quick. I don't know if these are their own sheep, their livelihood that they're watching over, or if they're the hired hands watching someone else's sheep. The text doesn't spend any time on any of these preparations. The angel appears and it says this. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And they went with haste. I have been much less than hasteful in the interruptions I face. Preparing for this message, I tried to keep track. Well, how often am I actually interrupted when I'm doing work? How quickly do I jump on those interruptions? Sometimes there is work that I'm trying to put off and I'm looking around for interruptions, but most of the time those interruptions come when you're not expecting, when you're not looking forward to them. And there can be a lot of them. For these shepherds, this interruption was clearly from God. a sign from God and the angels appearing and the host praising God. A sign laid out for them if they were just to go then. And they hurry down and, you know, Mary and Joseph had had a long day themselves with the birth of the baby and everything. And now a bunch of shepherds, maybe not the cleanest group, show up and they all want to hold the baby. The only benefit here is they didn't have germ theory to scare anyone away. Yeah, go ahead, pick him up. Yeah, let the sheep lick him. This little baby. They go and they see him and they say what the angels have told them. This interruption was an interruption that came from God. When I started paying attention to my own work, my own interruptions, it seemed like very few of the interruptions that I encounter come from God. Someone calling up. Maybe they have a new phone service to offer the church. An email that comes in, and you got to check those right away. These little interruptions, and they start piling up. But God is in control of these things, isn't he? Even those little interruptions in the day. And as I paid attention, as I reflected on the way the shepherds were interrupted, it made me realize that far more of those interruptions that I face could very well be from God. Not quite as obvious as the angel there, not as scary for me. The sky didn't open up, but interruptions that came, perhaps because God wanted me to do something else. That this was the moment to respond. Someone you could pray for. A time when you could speak a word of hope. For the shepherds, that's what they do. They go and they see Mary and Joseph and the baby. It's interesting, you know, often when we read the story, we end at verse 20. That's the end of the shepherds section, isn't it? But verse 21 reminds us that at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus. So the baby that they see is just the baby. Oh, in a few days, we'll be calling him Jesus. That's the name we're going to give him. Right now, he's the yet-to-be-named Messiah. What a weird way to introduce somebody. Oh, yes, he's this one. His name's still a few days away. It's going to be Jesus. We're looking forward to it. Not yet. And the shepherds who are now interrupting this couple in the middle of the night, or perhaps they're far enough from Bethlehem that by the time they walk there, the sun's beginning to come up. And they have their own message. An angel appeared. Mary and Joseph had seen angels. And then they'd had some time of silence, it appears. I don't think they're angel-filled dreams were common for them. So now the baby was born, and they very well may have thought, well, what now? All right, so we had the baby. Naming's in a couple days. Well, now it's the shepherds. Those who have left their work to come and proclaim what God has done. Mary treasures up these things, pondering them in her heart. Verse 20 brings us to the incredible blessing that the shepherds received. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. God was at work. The shepherds did not shy away from the message they had received, but But hearing that message, they went with haste. It seems there's a collection of shepherds there, and I don't know if there were any dissenting votes. You know what? You guys go. I'm going to stay with the sheep. I'm not getting fired over some little baby Messiah. Yeah, I know it was the angels, but come on. I don't want to have my pay docked. You know there's that one sheep that's always wandering off. And this guy right here, he's like, I'll just put him on my shoulders. It'll be fine. For those who went, at least, those who gathered around and saw that baby, they received that incredible blessing. A blessing that comes in several parts. The first to receive that announcement of the Messiah. That they knew something that was happening in the world long before it was obvious. Some of these shepherds may have been young men. We know that David, he would be out keeping the sheep when he was fairly young. Too young to do something like go off to war with his brothers. For some of these shepherds, the next 30 years may have been a long wait. Every winter night. Now, 28 years ago, there was that baby. You know, the one with the angels. What is he up to these days? When's he going to make his move? Because they spoke of him. Praising God for all they had heard and seen. In verse 18 it says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. This may mean that for much time afterwards they proclaimed this message, but I like to think that it was that same night. So they ran to Bethlehem, and I doubt Bethlehem had a lot of signs pointing to the right mangers for babies. And I'm imagining this band of shepherds being the first evangelists. The Messiah is here, going door to door. Only they said it a little bit different. Is the Messiah here? Man, it's the middle of the night. Well, the Messiah has come, and if he's not here, he might be in the next house over. The Messiah is here. Christ has come. The Savior is born. Angels appeared to us. Some of the other shepherds were so scared. They proclaimed glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. We're looking for the baby right now. About yay big and wrapped up tight. But they get to be the first ones spreading this news. And their ordinary life, their ordinary time has been transformed. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Perhaps these were the most religious shepherds you could find in all of Israel. And that's why the angel appeared to them. But I don't think so. These were just the nearby shepherds. The regular people. Out minding their own business, watching the flocks. And God interrupts. God is doing something great. And they are blessed to see the Savior before he grows up. To hear this message from God. To have their night transformed from one of common work to glorifying and praising God. These shepherds are a reminder to us of, on the one hand, the ordinary people that Jesus came to serve, to bless. But they are a reminder to us also of the interruptions that we may face. And how God can be at work through them. Not every interruption is the announcement of a new baby, a new Savior, of a new way of God working in the world, but God is at work in all the details. And what is so easy for us to brush off as another interruption. I don't want to deal with that right now. Come on, just when I was getting to work. I just settled in to read my book and... All right, let me pick up my bookmark. Let me put it in the pages. Let me close the book. Put the book on the table. What do you want? So often that's how I face interruptions. And yet, God's in control. He's in control of those details. He directs those things. And if God wants to interrupt my reading, then I should interrupt it with haste, to respond with joy. As I paid more attention, more and more those little interruptions were opportunities to praise God, to glorify, to speak of what I have heard and seen. Because today, the incredible blessing that we have in the regular days of our life and in our work is that we too have seen the Savior. We have had it announced to us, not by an angel appearing. The skies opened, but generation after generation of faithful followers of Jesus. People who have brought that message to us. That we too will have heard of this boy, Jesus. And to hear more of the story than the shepherds knew at that time. The shepherds who must have wondered what this news would really mean. The message of peace, of joy, of glory to God, of a Savior who was born. We have heard the rest of the story. We know the work of Jesus and the work he did in being at the same time like every other child and unlike every other child. A person, but a person who lives pleasing God in all things. A life free from sin. And then a life laid down not at the power of the government, but a life laid down to deal with sin. That we celebrate at Christmas, not just because of these miraculous stories, not because of the little scene or the decorations we get to put up, but because Jesus is the Savior. He is Christ, the Lord. There is peace. And that peace came not because the baby was just so cute you couldn't help it, but because blood was spilled, that Jesus died, and then he rose again, offering us new life. That if you believe and have placed your faith in Jesus, at some point during your life, an interruption came that you couldn't say no to. Do you know what Jesus has done? Do you know what would happen if you were to die? There is a Savior who has offered you life. And letting God interrupt you, you place your faith in Jesus. Maybe you sat down with someone, you prayed a sinner's prayer. God, I am a sinner. Thank you so much that Jesus paid for my sins, and I accept his sacrifice. Perhaps it was a more gradual transformation where you slowly realized, now wait a second, I really believe in this Jesus guy. Maybe you had the blessing of growing up in a home filled with faith. And one day you realized, you know what? This isn't just something my parents do, but this is for me. Jesus died for me. And if you've taken that step yourself, then I encourage you, especially here at Christmas time, to embrace those interruptions. Because God is at work, not just in bringing you to faith, but in shaping your life, that you can bring this message to others. That you will find incredible blessing and incredible joy in sharing the gospel. For those of us who believe, I don't think there is anything more exciting than sharing that life with someone else. And it's its own kind of infant announcement. Not a baby born the natural way, but look at this new life. Look at this new life of faith that is springing up. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, there is peace with one more man or woman. We proclaim the gospel. This week, these next weeks until Christmas, make room for God to interrupt, for you to proclaim the true meaning of Christmas. Invite them to our Christmas Eve service. Invite them to Christmas Day service. Invite them over to your house, but do not shy away. Do not shy away from the story of the gospel. These shepherds were the first to go and speak to all who could hear of the Savior who has come. And we follow their example, proclaiming what God has done, glorifying and praising God for all we have heard and seen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the many ways that you watch over us. And we offer up to you our time this Christmas season to use as you would want. And if that means interrupting us, then interrupt us and shake up our routine. But let us be people who faithfully serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.